Good morning. We are continuing on this beautiful Lord's Day, the series that we started on newness. Started off talking about the old self, the sinner, talking about the new man and all the characteristics that go with being the new man in Christ. But it's more than just being the new man in worship. But it must follow into the home. That's what I want to talk about this morning, is a new home. I'm not talking about heaven, which is our real true home, but our homes here on earth, where we live, where we eat, sleep. If Christ does not follow us into our own home, then it won't work, because we can be Christians here in worship, but how about behind closed doors, when we are home with our wives, our children? Are we raising our families up in a godly home? Because how you act behind closed doors will determine if you truly are faithful, if you truly have made that change and have put off the old self, the sinner. That's what it determines. Now, once again, no one's perfect. Even if you do raise your children up in a godly home, it does not guarantee that they won't mess up, that they may not stray from the faith. It happens. I know of plenty of husbands and wives who are godly people, who are Christians, and their children go astray. It happens. I have seen Christian couples who are husbands and wife, and they have marital problems. It happens. But as long as God is at the center, they're willing to fix it. They're willing to work on it. They're willing to do whatever is necessary in order to make everything right. But it's never a guaranteed. And of course, our children will make mistakes. We once, when we were children, even now as adults, we make mistakes, don't we? And so when we look at the new home, God is to be the center of our homes. No sin welcomed in those homes. No filthiness allowed in those homes. God is the center of that household. And so when we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, we see the first two verses here, verses 18 and 19, Paul deals with the marriage. Verse 18, wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Now, I'm not a marriage expert, and I never proclaim to be one. But when we look at Paul, not only in these writings to the Colossians, but to his writings to the Corinthians, Paul talks about what a godly marriage looks like. And the first point here, he talks about wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. That word own, to your own husbands, not multiple husbands. And that's a big practice today in some religions. Your own husbands, as we'll see the same phrase come up in 1 Corinthians. If wives cannot submit to their husbands, they won't submit to God. Husbands, guess what? You need to submit to your wives as well. We'll see that covered in 1 Corinthians 7 here in a second. But submit. We have people who even proclaim to be Christians that have a problem with submitting. Whether it's to the governing authorities, and whether it's to their own husbands or wives. If you cannot submit to either, you won't submit to God. God calls us to submit to Him, to obey Him, to love Him and follow His commandments. That's what we are to do. A new man in Christ submits to Christ, submits to his law, submits to his will. Nothing more. Your feelings do not concern him. It's about what he wants and what he says goes. Put your feelings out of the picture. And so when we go to 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 6, "Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual morality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." So when we see here in Corinthians, his letter to the Corinthians, we know that the Corinthians struggled with sexual sin, sexual misconduct. We see that in 1 Corinthians 6, where Paul tells them to flee sexual morality. "It is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of your lack of self-control, get married. Have your own wife," singular. "Wives, have your own husband," singular. Well, that already marks out homosexuality. It's not a true marriage under God. But once again, we see here, the husband's body is not his own. It's for his wife. The wife's body, it's not her own, it's for her husband. They have needs. The husband and wife have needs that need to be met by their husband or wife. It's important that we meet those needs. If God is at the center of your marriage, then we know we will obey what we have been told to do. What is a godly marriage? Well, we see right here in 1 Corinthians 7. "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer." We saw that this morning in Acts, before Saul and Barnabas went on their first mission trip to go and preach the gospel. Fasting and prayer, we are commanded to do. And so when we come to worship, we come as husband and wife, we worship God together. God is at the center of our lives, of our marriage. We know that we are to love God more than our husbands and our wives. He is the first and foremost, most important thing in our lives. Because if we can love God more than everything else, everything will fall into place. That love will be given to our wives, our wife, or our husband. And so when we look here, "come together again so that Satan does not tempt." Here's the sad part in worldly marriages today. God is not at the center. And so the husband and wife do not meet each other's needs. So they go to another source to find fulfillment for their needs. That's when you have adultery, sexual morality come about. But not just that, but also husbands and wives, they a lot of times put all their focus onto their kids before their husband and wives, which we know there's a hierarchy. God, the husband, the wife, the children. There's a hierarchy. Parents make it about their children, putting them in all types of sports, after school programs, and when the children get old enough, they leave the home, they go to college, whatever they do, they leave the nest. Those same parents look at each other and they don't recognize one another. They see themselves as roommates, and that's when divorces happen. They no longer love their husband or wife. That's why it's so important, and we'll get to why it's important here in just a few minutes. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 4 through 6, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It's important that marriage is honorable, is held honorable. But sadly, it's not in the world. Divorce is seen as a regular, normal thing in society. You go back to the 40s and 50s, you didn't hear about divorce too much. And actually, it was harder when you went and when you wanted a divorce, you had to give evidence to why you wanted that divorce. It was a lot harder to get a divorce. Now you just go in, we want a divorce, they give you the papers, you sign them, you get lawyers involved, done. It's a sad day when marriage is not held high up. The sanctity of marriage has been attacked, especially with the LGBTQ people. It's a sad day that marriage is not held in high regard. God has given us a gift. It's how we reproduce as a species. We bring other human beings into the world, husband and wife, male and female. We see that at the very beginning of Genesis chapter 2 and 3. He gave Adam and a helper, Eve. Once again, it's so important that we put God at the center of our marriage. Husbands, we are not to look at towards our wives as bitter in bitterness. Wives, submit to your husbands. It's so important. Once again, if we have God at the center of marriage, of our marriage, no man, no woman will be able to come between that marriage. Nothing will separate that marriage. Because both individuals have God not only at the center of their marriage, but in their lives as well. But also, we must understand that if you have children, you have little eyes observing, watching your marriage. And how you treat your husband or your wife will rub off onto your children. It's so important, once again, in a new home, God is at the center of your marriage, and he's at the center of your entire family. Children, parents and children, it's so important that our children see. You know, one thing I've noticed, a mom and a dad, they kiss each other in front of their children. Kids go, ooh, right? Have you ever heard that? Ooh. But I often think, should they be doing that? Shouldn't it be a normal thing that's happening in your home? Should you be giving your wife a kiss, showing your husband love in front of your children? It's important because you're teaching your children this is how you treat your future wife or husband. It's so important because these little eyes see. And if you're disrespecting, if you're not submitting to your husbands, if you're disrespecting him, if you are not listening, and the same thing with the husbands, if you're looking at your wife with bitterness, if you're angry with your wife, your children are watching because in Colossians 3, verses 20 through 21 here, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. For your children to obey your husband or your wife, their mom, their dad, then the mom and dad need to be showing each other respect. The wife needs to be submitting. The husband needs to be loving. The husbands are called to love the wife as the Lord loved the church. It's so important because these children, if you want to raise them up in a godly home, you must teach them, you must instruct them in the ways of the Lord. but living it as well. So we see children today, and I've seen, there was one video, well, not a video, but a story I read. An older man was in a grocery store, and he was in an aisle looking and taking his time trying to find what he needed. And this woman and her child, they come into the aisle, and the child has the buggy, and he rams it into the old man. Now, if you've ever been hit or rammed with a buggy, it doesn't feel too good. So the old man looked at the child, then looked at the mother. The mother was on the phone. And he's just shocked that she didn't say anything. So he goes back to watching. The child rams it into him again. And finally, he's hurting, and he looks at the kid, and he says, "Stop." And he looks at the mother, and he says, "Will you tell your child to stop?" Her response was, "Well, you need to hurry up and get out of this aisle then. Get what you need and get out." What do you think that's showing that child? Showing him how to disrespect their elders. Not only that, I guarantee that child does not listen to his parents. It's important that children learn obedience early on. Discipline them when they do get in trouble. That's the problem with a lot of this new generation. You spank a kid, you could get in trouble for it today. And that's sad because kids need discipline. The one thing I hated was the belt. And actually, what I hated more than the belt was the switch. Have you guys ever had the switch? I'm sure some of you older ones had. I had to go pick my own switches. And let me tell you, that was bad enough. And you would try to go get the smallest, thinnest little switch you could find. You'd bring it up there thinking, okay, this won't hurt as bad. They make you turn around and go get another one. You don't want them to choose. They'll find the biggest, thickest one to whip you with. But you know, you're taught, you're disciplined, because you're told when they spank you, it's to teach you what you did was wrong. This is the right thing to do. And children tend to listen, tend to obey better the second time. Now, that's not always the case. It takes a few. It takes a few butt whippings sometimes for kids who are stubborn. And I was one of them. It took a few times. But you learn. You grow. And you learn to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. You learn to respect. You learn to obey your parents. It's so important. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Other translations, do not provoke your children in anger. Don't show them. Fathers, we are to be role models for our children. It's important. If we are growing angry in front of our children, if we are blasting off towards the wife, arguing, saying angry things, it's going to rub off on our children. Once again, it's going to show them that, hey, if you can do it, I can do it. I saw another video, and this one was a funny video. This mom was trying to get her child to sleep. He was sick. She's trying to get him to lay down, take the medicine, sleep. And he is just screaming, crying. Well, in the background, you see the father walking around, coming up, and he just stands there in the doorway, and the kid looks, quiets down, gets in bed, and he says, "Take your medicine, go to sleep." It was done deal. It's important to have a father figure in the house. Most families today are a one-parent household, sadly, because of divorce, because of disagreements, cheating, whatever it may be. And it hurts the children. It really does. Once again, the whole point, putting God at the center. And you'll learn to do what's right. You know, of course, as parents, you're going to make mistakes. But, yet again, as long as God's at the center, you'll correct those mistakes, you'll do what's right, and you'll continue leading and growing together as a family. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Excuse me. So we see here once again, Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents. First, the first commandment, we see that you will live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. How important it is to bring our children up to teach them what the Lord has commanded us. It's so important, and yet so many fail at doing this because God is not at the center of the household. It's sports, it's school, it's work, whatever it may be. That's a problem. I didn't grow up in the era where ball games were played on Saturday, not Sunday. Now you have it where it's all week around, weekly, every Sunday, games going on, tournaments. They're putting sports as a priority over God. It's sad that we have this. And so what we have is a generation of children coming up, not knowing the truth, not knowing God, and they're going out into the world and doing what they want to do, pursuing what they want to pursue, and it's usually not good. And then you have children, and I've seen it, who grow up into teenagers, into adults, and they're angry, bitter, because they saw their fathers. You know, my wife and I have been sitting around watching prison documentaries, which are interesting. It's a whole nother world inside those prisons. These inmates create a whole new world of rules, laws, and it's interesting to see. But yet again, there are so many young men in the prison system and young women because they grew up in a home where God was not at the center. Now, yet again, there have been some children who were raised in a good home, raised in a godly home, who are there as well. So it works both ways. But at the same time, once again, there's a greater chance if your child and your marriage has God at the center, you have a greater chance at succeeding in life. And that's just the truth. It's not perfect, and your children will never be perfect. Especially in the adolescent years, they had their hormones and all that stuff's going on. It's a crazy time, and some of us have forgotten what that time was like. Being rebellious, I was rebellious. Who isn't as a teenager? But you learn quick, especially when you're disciplined, don't do that. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 12 through 18, we see here a father to a son. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. If you beat your child with a belt or a switch, it won't kill them. It'll make them cry. But it's going to be good for them. It's going to be good. It's going to teach them right from wrong. And it will deliver, like the father here to his son, deliver his soul from hell. When you raise your kids up in a godly home, it will do well for their souls. They will see what is more important. A preacher I know, he has a son who became a preacher, who preaches now. He has daughters who are godly women, who married preachers. But he has one son who went into the world and follows the ways of the world. It happens. And he did his best. Him and his wife did their best. They have a godly marriage. They have God in the center of their marriage. They put God at the center of their home. Yet, once again, it doesn't always work out. It's not a guaranteed. People make mistakes. People give in to sin. Even David to his son Solomon in Proverbs here. Even Solomon messed up, didn't he? David himself messed up. But once again, these men understood at the end of the day, repent and come back. We know Solomon with his writings in Ecclesiastes, what's his conclusion for all of this? It's all vain. It's all vanity. It's worthless. The only thing that matters is to fear God and keep His commandments. And that's what David is passing along to his son here in Proverbs. It's so important. You know, I know once Jennifer and I have our kids, I know I'll make plenty of mistakes. But as long as I have God at the center of our marriage and our home, I know that it will give them a great chance at succeeding and being, because that should be our main priorities as husband and wife, to make sure our children are growing up in a godly home and that they will be in heaven with us one day for eternity. That should be every parent's wish, not to be a pro athlete, not to be some scholar, no, to be in heaven one day. Sadly, that's not the case. And I will say this, if you are not putting God at the center in your home and in your marriage, you have not truly put off the old self from its old ways. And so, we are here to please the Lord, to do what is pleasing to the Lord. It's so important because in the next verses 22 through 25 of Colossians 3, Paul deals with bondservants. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So in this time, bondservants, slavery was a thing. We know back in Exodus there would be slaves, there would be bondservants. And it wasn't from another nation, it was their own people, people who owed. But God put in laws to protect bondservants, and even now, we see Paul's letter to Philemon. We know that Philemon had a slave, had a bondservant. That bondservant would escape and come find Paul and became a brother in Christ. And when he sent him back to Philemon, he wrote this letter saying, look, he's no longer a bondservant. He is your brother in Christ now. And he is to be treated as such. And so we see here the bondservants, they were to work in sincerity. They were to be sincere in their work towards their masters, but not as men pleasers, but because they fear God and they know His commandments, they know His law. And so we are here to please God, not man. I'll tell you, the world offers the worst marriage advice. They do. We look at the celebrity culture. God is not at the center of that celebrity culture. Marriages are ripped apart. People divorce like it's a party. Just the other day at the Golden Globes, a few days before the big fires broke loose, they had that big award show for movies or what such, and called themselves a godless society, mocking God. That's the type of culture that we don't want to follow. Any young man or young woman who's getting married, you don't want to be like these celebrities. Some of them will offer marriage advice. Let me tell you, it's nonsense. There's this new idea that, you know what, we don't believe in getting married, but we'll live together, and that way it's all is good. But there's no commitment there. There's no commitment. So when the time comes, okay, we're going to split, no big deal. Go our separate ways. This is the world's idea of marriage. And so many are falling into it. We're not here to please them. We're not here to please the world. We are here to please God. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we'll see this text throughout the series pop up, but Once again, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we have not been transformed by the renewing of our mind, how do we transform? Well, we come to know Christ, we come to believe, we come to repent, confess, and we are immersed. We are baptized for the remission of our sins, and we have put to death that old man that was in sin, and we raise out of that water, we are walking in newness of life. And we now, it's no longer we are of the world, no, we are of God, we are His servants, we are His bond servants. Paul calls himself a bondservant of Christ. Why? Because Christ is his entire purpose now. He's at the center of his life for the rest of his life. That is what we mean. When we come to Christ and we accept and we are baptized, we have transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we transform our minds, when we walk in that newness of life, we know what is good and acceptable, and we know what the perfect will of God is. We know what the will of God is for us. Now, Paul was never married. We have no records indicating that. Paul, on down in the 1 Corinthians 7, wishes that they would remain as he is, meaning don't marry, focus solely on the will of God and doing his will. But he understands that if you don't have self-control, then it's better for you to marry than to give in to those sinful passions, sinful desires. Once again, brothers and sisters, when we come to Christ, and when we put him in our life, at the center of our life, that is to follow us not just in worship, but to our homes, to our workplaces, all over. We are to live as Christ lived, and we are to conduct ourselves in such a holy and acceptable manner before him, not to men. It's so important that he follows us everywhere, that we have him at the center of our lives everywhere we go, and that we keep that mindset over and over and over, and that we pass it down to our children, that we show them who God is, the true God, and that we teach through his word. That's what a new home looks like. So many people have those signs up in their homes. For me, in this household, we will serve God. I know I butchered that, but I know it's in Joshua. It's a famous text that people use. They have bracelets. People put those signs up, but do they truly live it? That's my question. Are you truly living for Christ this morning, or are you simply living for the world? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, where do you start? Well, you start by hearing and believing the word. Romans 10, 17 and John 3, 16 and 17. Then you must repent, change one's mind. Acts 3, 19. Then you must confess your faith in Christ Jesus, Romans 10, 10. But it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized. You must be immersed for the remission of your sins. Galatians 3, 26 through 27, Acts 2, 38, Acts 22, 15 and 16. And then you must remain faithful, Hebrews 10, 23, all your days on this earth or until Christ comes back. Remain faithful. Or if you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian, but you have fallen back into your old ways, now's the time to change. Now's the time to come forward, repent of your sins, and renew your walk with Christ. Do not wait, for time is not on our side. give your life to Christ this morning. So if you need any assistance at all, come as we stand and as we sing.